What a blessing it is to be here today. Thank you very much for being a part of our services here at the Azalea City Church of Christ. If you're visiting, as was mentioned earlier by Justin, thank you very much for being here also. I do want to let you know that a new quarter, when it comes to our classes, started today. And so, on behalf of our deacon over education, Brother Jeff May, I do want to plug that. Our classes have started. We've got new classes for adults in the fellowship hall. We got a class for another adult class in the gym. And, of course, we've got our college class that's going on, our teen class, of course, our outdoor Bible. And then also, I wanted to let you know that Bill Pierce is doing the new converts class. And so that class met this morning, and if you were not aware of that, please know. Our teachers work really hard to be able to get classes ready and everything, and so let's do that. Let's be a part. We've been having some really, really good numbers in our class, and so if you can be here, please be here. And I thanks to Jeff and his leadership and all those who are filling in and doing that part. Today, I want to talk with you about being God's people. You see, we live in a world that is confused about identity. And I know that some of that comes to mind, but it's not just the sexual aspect of confusion. But there are people that are confused on a national level about who they are. There are people confused socially who they are. And then there are people all around us who are personally confused about who they are. Our nation did celebrate its 249th birthday, if you will, as we declared independence from Great Britain and war was had to be able to start this great nation that we live in. If you go back to the founding document of this nation, you will see that our forefathers knew exactly who this nation was, that we were founded on the principles of the Bible and also on God above. But today, people define themselves in a lot of different ways. In fact, people define themselves by social success, secular success, how much money's in our accounts, how many nice vehicles we have, how many square feet are in our house, our homes, how much fill in the blank. That's who people identify themselves with. If you're not sure about that, just take a look around in society, and it will not take long to realize that people are defining themselves by how much money they have. But there are also people, as you're well aware, and we won't go into details about that, confused about their sexuality. We know that God made two genders and not 450,000 or however many they say there is. But there are people that, for whatever reason, are confused about that. There are people that define themselves by their health, by their number of friends that they have, the status at their job, the status in their social setting and gathering. You know, it is crazy to think about what in 249 years, and I'm just talking about our nation now, not to mention the rest of the world, what people have gotten confused about. But not in here, right? Because in here, the majority of us have been immersed in water, allowing God to contact us with the blood of Jesus Christ, coming up out of that water brand new, born again, added to the kingdom, free of our sins, with the gift of the Holy Spirit, and our names changed. We went from being people of this world to being followers of Christ. And so as Christians, identity is not an issue, or shouldn't be. In fact, as Christians, identity is not discovered within. We don't have to find out who we are. In fact, as Christians, identity is declared by God. So the question I want to ask us today is this. I want you to make it personal. I'm going to say it as a group. Who are we? But I want you to ask yourself, who am I? Who are you? Who am I? Who are we? We're not just individuals. I want us to start individually. But I want us to also ask ourselves, as God's people, do we really know who we are? Again, in a world that bombards us with labels. Think about that. There's labels all around. Success, failure, rich, poor, young, old. God offers us an identity that is, it transcends all of those. In fact, it was read to us just a moment ago by my buddy Dawson. Dawson's first time reading today, and he did such an outstanding job. Do you see the excitement in him? I love that. I hope that we still get that excited and we never lose that type of excitement to serve our Lord. But in that scripture, and we're going to get to it and we're going to reveal it again in just a moment, but in that scripture that Peter writes, you know what God does there? It's no confusion about who we are to Him. He said, we are His own. We are His chosen. And we are His beloved. But here's the thing. That's beautiful. And I'm thankful, right? Aren't you? I'm thankful that God calls us His own, that we are special to Him, and that He loves us so much. But when we understand what our identity is and who our identity is, that comes with a purpose. That purpose is a divine calling to be different than the world. The world may say, I'm this and I'm that and I'm this and I'm that, but we are not the world. We are the called out. And God has called us to live differently, to be lights in a world of darkness all around us. So today, here's what we're going to do. We're going to unpack and explore what it means to be God's people and to live out God's purpose. We're, of course, going to base it on the Scriptures. So in your Bibles, you will see, again, what was read to us earlier, 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into the marvelous light. Once, this verse 9, I love, but listen to verse 10. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. This passage is our foundation today. The same Peter that reminds us that we are living stones built upon the chief cornerstone and foundation is the same Peter who at times struggled with his identity. Go back one slide, please. I did this for our kids, but that's Clark Kent turning into Superman and Peter Parker, who needed to shave in that picture, turning into Spider-Man. And I want our kids to hear and see. You see, they struggled with, who am I? Am I Clark Kent? Am I Superman? Am I Peter Parker? Am I Spider-Man? As Christians, we shouldn't suffer, but Peter at times did. Not Peter Parker this time, Peter the Apostle. You can go back, brother. Peter the Apostle was a fisherman, and that's how he identified himself. Then he was a follower of Jesus. Then he was the one who opened up the doors to the kingdom, but along the way, he battled that. And you can see from Scripture that he struggled because as much as if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And then he denies him. So Peter had that struggle. But I love that he figured it out. That he figured out who exactly he was. He wasn't a fisherman. That was just what he did for a trade. He was a follower of Jesus Christ. And he reminded us of exactly who we are in this passage. So let's get into it. Who am I? The first question we want to ask is that. Who am I? Our identity is who we are in Christ. God didn't pick us at random. He chose us. You know, if we were to put people's names in a hat in here, who's going to get such and such prize or whatever, we would take everybody's name and we'd put it in a hat and we'd shake it up, or in a bowl or something, we'd shake it up and we'd pull it out. That would be random. You know, if your name was picked, that would be random. Aren't you glad God didn't pick us that way? He didn't say, yeah, let me pull out of a hat and Terry just got lucky. Wow, that would be the luckiest guy, right? You would be lucky, right? No, that's not how he did it. He did it on purpose. He said, I didn't randomly pick you, I chose you. I chose you to be my people, but here's the kicker in that, not because we deserved it. God didn't pick us because we were so good that we just stood out amongst others. No, He chose us because He is so good. Like Israel, we were slaves to sin. But He called us out of that. You know, Moses, as he was floating down that river, at the same time Pharaoh's daughter was bathing, not coincidence there, she drew him out of that water. That's what his name means, drawn out. And he was picked by God, not randomly, chosen by God to draw Israel out of bondage. Well, then along comes this baby from the tribe of Judah, whose name means Emmanuel, God with us, who is Jesus, the Christ, the Savior. He wasn't just randomly picked. He was chosen. And He, like Moses, led us out of slavery. He led us out of a slavery to sin, a slavery to Satan, and He led us into a covenant relationship with God through Him. You see, identity begins not with what we do, but whose we are. Turn to Deuteronomy 7, please. Deuteronomy 7, verse 6. It echoes what I just said. It doesn't begin with what we do, but whose we are. Listen to it. For you are a people. Now listen, God is talking to Israel. And let me be clear. Listen, I'm praying for Israel and I'm praying for all that over there. But Israel's not God's chosen people today. Okay? We are. We're His Israel. We're His chosen people. Okay? Remember, when we chose to walk in newness of life, it's because He chose us with that opportunity. And we'll talk more about that. But He's talking to Israel in Deuteronomy 7. But this echoes to His Israel, you and me, today, as Christians. Listen to it. For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for His treasured possession out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. Do you realize in Genesis 12, at the Tower of Babel, Babel, however we want to pronounce it, that at that moment, God realized that none of the people on earth chose Him to be their God. And so here's Genesis 11. And Genesis 12 is when He changes it. Genesis 11, Babel, Genesis 12. In Genesis 12, He has made the decision that I will make a nation that I will be their God. Now, that's Abraham. That's the beginning of his life. He leaves Ur of Chaldees, and you know how the story unfolds after that. Did Israel always choose God? No. But He still chose them. Every day of your life, do you choose God? Chances are you don't. Chances are we mess up, right? We sin. We forget who we are at that moment. But He still chose us. Despite our flaws, despite our mistakes, He still wants to be our God. The Creator of the universe, the Creator of everything we know, He looked at you and He looked at me with every flaw that we have, with every doubt that we have, with every struggle that we have. He looked at you and He looked at me and He declared, "You are mine." This isn't because of our worthiness, as I said earlier. This isn't because we deserved it, just like Israel didn't deserve it. This is because of His love. In John 15:16, Jesus says it best. He says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you." Our identity begins with God's plan, His initiative. His grace that calls us out of the world and calls us into His family is God's initiative. So let's stop living, if we are, like we're still in Egypt. It's one of those, like, I really don't know that I need that. But you know, when we all got COVID, and you had this little itch in your throat. I don't have COVID, by the way. But when you have this little itch in your throat, and you're like, oh, people, if they hear me cough, it's kind of like up here. Just get it out, Terry, and then it'll be fine. Sorry, I digress. But let's stop living like we're in Egypt. And that's what God's point when He wrote Deuteronomy and everything, when they got to the promise. Stop living like you're still in slavery. You're in the promised land. Why are we living like we're still enslaved? We belong to the universe creator. We're not slaves. We're His children. We're not orphans. We're adopted. We're chosen. Also in this, He says in these verses, that we are a royal priesthood. There's a study in that that someday I'm going to complete. To liken the priests to the priests of today. We're the priests of today. Now, none of us are the high priest because Jesus is the high priest. But when He says you're a royal priesthood, let's think of it very quickly, the way priests did. What did they do? They served, they interceded, and they stood in the gap. When you think of royalty, what does that imply? Inheritance, authority, and even purpose. In the Old Testament, priests were set apart. Think about that. They were set apart and you knew it. They were set apart to serve God and also to focus and think and even meditate in His law and then mediate His presence to the people. Now, a priest would walk around and people knew because of the priestly garment that they were the high priest. It was very, very ceremonial. And so with that, we do not walk around per se in that priestly garment, but we better walk around with God on us. We better walk around clothed in Christ. But see, now through Christ, we're not the high priest. He is our high priest forever. But we are called priests. In Revelation 1:6 declares that Jesus has made us kings and priests to His God and Father. We do not need anyone to mediate for us to God on this earth. We do not need anyone to approach God. We don't have to. You do not have to go to me and say, "Hey, Terry, on behalf of me, can you go to God?" That all of us can go to God. All of us can pray. All of us can talk to Him. We have direct access to His throne, and we do that through prayer. We do it through worship. We do it through obedience. But with that blessing, we also have a responsibility. What else did the priests do? They represented God. That's our duty, to wear Him everywhere, to clothe ourselves with Jesus Christ and wear Him everywhere. I've said this before. You don't have to go very far in this city, town, whatever, to find out if somebody loves Alabama or they love Auburn, not as many of them as it used to be, or they love their children or their dogs or their whatever, because they wear it everywhere. It's on their vehicles. It's on their clothes. I mean, it's everywhere. And listen, good for them. But my question is, do people know that we love Jesus that much? We're a royal priesthood. Think about that. Are we using our priesthood to help others see Jesus? Are we using our priesthood to serve God and others? Are we using our priesthood to worship the way God wants us to? Or are we just guilty of attending? But in that verse, he also says, again, talking about our identity, who we are in Christ, we're a holy nation. We know what holy means, right? It means set apart. We're set apart. We're not like the others. That's what it's supposed to mean. When God set up Israel, they were not supposed to be like the other nations. A nation has its own culture. It will have its own laws. And it will have its own loyalty. Listen, I am proud to be a citizen of the United States of America. I am proud to celebrate our independence. I am proud to celebrate Veterans Day because they have served to keep us free. I'm proud to celebrate Memorial Day because they gave the ultimate gift to keep us free for 249 years. But my ultimate allegiance is not to this country. It's not to any political party or any tribe or anything else. Philippians 3:20 reminds us our citizenship is in heaven. I've been to Ukraine. I've been to other nations. And listen, as much as I have loved going to Ukraine, I didn't forget where I was a citizen of. I was a visitor to Ukraine, but I was a citizen of the United States. as a citizen of the United States, have we forgot where our real citizenship is? Are we living like heaven is our true home? But also in this, once we know who our identity is, secondly, we need to know what our purpose is. See, 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10 told us exactly who we are. But now what's our purpose? You know why you're here? Just a couple reasons. Not to be CEO. If you become CEO of your company, congratulations. Not to be rich. Not to be this. Not to be that. Again, if you accomplish all those things and this, congratulations. But we are here first and foremost to proclaim the excellency of God. Identity, once we know who we are, you know what it leads to? What is our mission? Now that I know who I am, what is my mission in life? God didn't choose you, and He didn't choose me to sit around and do nothing. He chose us, He saved us, so that we would praise Him and help lead others to Him. We're not here to proclaim ourselves. There's too much of that going on, folks. Listen, I love, again, where I live. And I would never take that for granted. But it doesn't take you long to listen to, I don't care which side of the party you're on, people like to brag on themselves. That's not why we're here. We're not here to proclaim ourselves. We're here to proclaim Him. Newsflash. You don't need a pulpit to preach. You just need a life that points to Jesus Christ. Psalm 96:3, declare His glory among the nations. So we must ask ourselves, do my words proclaim His excellency? Do my posts on social media proclaim His excellency? Does the lifestyle that I live proclaim His excellency? So first of all, we're here to proclaim His excellency. Secondly, we're here to shine in the darkness. The Bible says He called us out of darkness into His what? Marvelous light. We're not just people of the light. We're bearers of light. You see, we can't hide. Eventually, our light must confront the dark. There has to become a moment in time when the light collides with the darkness. Ephesians 5 verse 8, at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. That's a beautiful verse, but it doesn't end there. At one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. So what, do what? Again, that's our identity. What's my purpose? Walk as children of light. You see, light doesn't argue with darkness. It doesn't meet dark. Light doesn't meet darkness and say, hey, I really need to be shining here, not you. There's no argument there. Light just shines. So the question is, are we shining or are we blending in? That gets us to number three once we understand our purpose. Here's our story. At one time I was nothing, but now I'm God's people. Man, isn't that beautiful? Put it all together, folks. 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10, the Bible is not complicated. Peter said, hey, you know who you are? You're God's chosen people. You're a royal priesthood. He loves you. Once you know who you are, do you know what your purpose is? You were in the darkness, now you're in the light. Walk as if you're in the light. But along the way, you need to tell people your story. What's your story? Hey, at one time I was nothing. But now I'm God's people. You see, what Peter's doing there is echoing way back to Hosea. It's a prophecy of Hosea. Hosea 1, 9 and 10 and then 2:23. They're reminded there that without me you're nothing. We were outsiders without God. We were without hope. We were without a future. We were without life. So our story really is a rescue story. He came to our rescue. In fact, if you read Ephesians 2, 12 and 13, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near. Man, how incredible is that? Paul's saying, don't forget who you were. Yeah, you were Gentiles. Yeah, you were cut off. He had his own chosen people, and that's who he went to. But you know what they did? They spit on him. They slapped him in the face. They beat him to a bloody mess, and they nailed him to a tree, his own people. So he turned from them. And he used men like the Apostle Paul. He was a chosen vessel of Jesus Christ to bear His name before us, the Gentiles. And those Gentiles who were disgusting, and really they lived a life of disgustingness, but they were disgusting in the Jews' eyes. Those are the people that He turned to. And he said, remember, at one time you were separated from Christ. But now, you're in Christ. He grafted you in to the true vine. You were one time far off. But now He's brought you near. We were nothing. But then he says, now you're God's people. You know what that is? When Peter's writing there, that phrase, he's saying this is a covenant language. What is covenant language? Here's the technical definition. It means it describes the formal, solemn, and often poetic or even legalistic wording used to express agreements between God and His people. So when they spoke in a covenant language, it was verbalized that way. But here's what it means to us. We're not just people. We're a people belonging to God. And not just as individuals, but as a community of believers. I said it in Bible class this morning. I'll say it here too. I'm guilty of it as well. Hey, tomorrow is church. Let's get ready to go to bed so we can get up and go to church. See, church is not a building. Church is not an event. It is a called out, redeemed, mission-minded people that belong to God Almighty. Titus 2:14. Who gave Himself for us, you know why? To redeem us. And to purify for Himself a people for His own possession who are zealous for good works. We are not who the world says we are. The good news is we're not even who the past, our past, says we are. Because of Jesus Christ and through Jesus Christ, we are who God says we are. And here's what that is. Chosen. Royal. Holy. His. And because of that, we were saved for a reason. To proclaim, to shine, to serve, and to be different. There is a price. Jesus paid the ultimate price, not just to rescue us, but to give us a place, to give us a people, and to give us a purpose. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. If you have forgotten who you are, or if you have never stepped into the identity God has for you, in just a moment, Steve will lead us in a song. And that song is an invitation. An invitation for you to come to a place where you belong. To come to a place where you can proclaim. And come to a place where you can walk in His marvelous light. After all, Paul wrote in Galatians 3, 26 and 27, "For in Christ Jesus you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Today, take the world off and put Christ on. Go from nothing to special in just a moment, in just a blink of an eye, in just a few steps. And let's do it right now as together we stand and sing.